Pastor James Mandel for our message today.
I say, wow. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. For Mary Beth. She's just the light of my life over here. I just am so excited how the Spirit of God truly ministers and moves in this ministry, and how we're just all one without even trying, because she didn't really know what I was going to speak about, but my message is actually on love. And one of the things that on the pamphlet, if I can see one of those pamphlets up there, it says right here, it says, he who does not love does not know God. And to be honest with you, God is love. And it says, God is love. And there is two types of love. How many people realize that there are two types of love? There's a conditional and an unconditional. And I'm going to take it a little further. There's a carnal love, and then there's an eternal love. And there's no other greater love than to lay one's life down for another. If you can become selfless, you're actually on the road to love. Because if you're selfless and it's no longer you that lives, but who actually begins to start living? Our divine creator, God, who dwells in each and every one. And this is what is so exciting about the relationship of having with God. See, the world doesn't understand that God dwells in you already. All we got to do is wake up. All we got to do is realize that God is there, and he has never left us nor forsaked us. It's that still small voice inside of you, that little tick in your heart that causes you to, you know, think a certain way, and it causes you to feel a certain way, in a good way. Now, there are some bad feelings and things like that, but the truth is what sets us free. It divides good and evil. So when bad thoughts come in, obviously we begin to start realizing that that's not God, you know, and then we cast down those bad thoughts and things of that nature. But let's focus on God and love. And I want to briefly share about love, and this is a most popular scripture verse about love, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm just going to read briefly what it says here in the scriptures. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, everyone understands music, and when you're out of tune, what's it sound like? It's horrible. And we could be walking in our life like that. We could be sounding horrible, just putting out bad vibes. I want to take us to a higher level of life, a higher level of understanding. We as an individual put off an aura or a realm or a sensation. Has anyone ever walked in a room and you had this bad feeling? And they just got done fighting or something, you know, there's a argument or something, and you just happen to be happy, and you walk in that room and you feel this ugh. Or you come to a friend and all of a sudden you feel a ugh. And it's like, what's wrong?
Oh, nothing.
Come on, tell me, what's wrong? I'm feeling it. Well, we put off this feeling, a sound. And 90% we feel this way because of being self-centered, to be about ourselves. And if we can walk in love, if we can walk in God, we can begin to start understanding that we put off a nice sound. I want to put off a beautiful sound. I want to put off like a musical, what do you call that? Sympathy. I got this speech problem. I can't talk right. But you got what I'm trying to say, right? And you know, God loves that sound. I want to be able to, my own walk. See, what's beautiful about this ministry, and I'm going to bloat about this ministry, is there's no religion in this ministry. You know, it's not about do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It's about you and a personal relationship with God. It's about how you and Him are one. It's not about your good deeds, and it's not about your good works, and it's not about all these things, but you and Him, our Creator, the Creator, our supreme being in the universe, and we call God. It's the only name that we can come up with. Sometimes I don't even like saying God because we beat it down and watered it down so much that the world doesn't even want to identify God anymore. It just wants to say, you know, the universe. And I can understand where they're coming from. But to make it simple for today, we're going to call it God. You know, this power, this divine life that is living in each and every one of you. And to have that relationship is probably the greatest relationship that anyone could have. Now, before we can even express love, you have to love yourself. Because we're a mirror image of what we project. And if we don't love ourselves, how are we supposed to love others? If we don't come to a place of being happy with ourselves and happy with what's inside, it's almost impossible to love somebody. It's a fake love. I call it, it's a carnal love, or it's not an eternal love. An eternal love comes from within. You can't manifest an eternal love. It just comes out of you. It's not a hardship service. When you have God inside of you, you want to serve. You want to give. You want to do. It's not a work. It's not hard. When you ask somebody to do something and they give you that, why do I have to do that? And you have to constantly tell somebody to do something, you're constantly telling them, there's no God in them. There's no God at all. They don't have the relationship of God. God gives without being told. God loves without being told. God manifests Himself within you only because of a joy and a peace. But I look at it as it has to come from inside. And if you're not happy with yourself, then that's where we really got to sit down and get down to the roots and find out why you're not happy. There's reasons why you're not happy. And we have to get to those roots. Because life, it's a mystery. And life has given us the prosperity of the benefits of life. And there's not need of anyone to struggle. There is no need for anyone to struggle. And I look at it as life is a choice. How many people understand that life is a choice? And I know with myself, it's working on almost a year and a half, I had epiphany. Has anyone ever had epiphany? Where all of a sudden they wake up and they realize that something's not right? And my epiphany was, you know, deep down I'm a soul searcher. And my life has been dramatically touched in a very unique way. And I have a relationship with this God that is not known by man. How many people realize that God really doesn't exist until you create Him? Think about it. He doesn't exist until you create Him, even though He does exist, because He exists by faith or belief, but you can't see Him. You only know Him by, I would say, testimonies or things that He does in your life. I've met very miserable people, and I ask them, why are you so miserable? It's because they feel all alone. They feel as though that, you know, they got to do everything and that there's no help and, you know, they're all alone and just, you know, the whole weight on their shoulders. But you find someone who's happy and has a relationship with God, it's almost like God has just done everything for them and they're just really happy and they don't have any weight on their shoulder. And it's like, no problem, because I know that God will take care of my needs. And it's just releases all your burdens. And the only way that that happened was when it was created in their heart. God was created in their heart. Whether someone told them and brought them into a place of believing, or something extraordinary happened in their life. Take a moment and just think. How did your relationship come to God? He did something special, or somehow or another you were shown or taught and you came to him, but you had to apply it within yourself. You had to come to him by yourself. I can sit here and tell you all the great things that he done in my life, but if he doesn't done something special in your life, then he doesn't exist. If he doesn't touch you in a special way, then you have every right to say there is no God. But I'm saying that there is, and if we give him an opportunity to touch you in a special way, if you open up your heart, he will find a way. I know that he hears the heart's cry. And if you're sick and tired about certain things in your life, and you're miserable, and you're not happy, you begin to put out a sound. This sound goes into the universe. This sound begins to sound like the love. And it goes into the universe and hits God's ears. And he hears a broken, contrite heart. He hears when you're not happy. When you cry out for help, seriously cry out for help, he answers. So I'm saying to those that are here and those that are listening, I want love to be poured into your heart. I want you to experience what I experienced. And if you come to an epiphany within yourself and say, you know what? I'm not happy. Most of the time, we're in denial. And we have a certain feeling about ourselves. And we say to ourselves, well, it is what it is. Has anyone ever got to that place? Well, it is what it is, you know, and I just got to deal with it. And so I'm going to be miserable, but I'm going to accept it. Well, that's not me. I'm telling you, I'm like a rebel when it comes to that. If I don't feel good and I don't feel right, there's a reason why. And I'm not going to just say it is what it is. I don't believe God has given us a life to live in bondage. I don't believe that God has given us a life to live in unhappiness. Now, some people take this false belief like my sufferings are, you know, this is my whips and these are my sufferings and I deserve to be suffering and all that. I'm sorry. Whoever told you that is a liar. There's no reason for you to be unhappy. There's no reason for you to be tortured and in pain and suffering. We have this life, which is going to be over in a blink of an eye. That quick. And then you have an eternal life that is forever. Now, I always share with everybody I meet, the condition that you're in will go to eternity. I hope you wake up on this one. Because you have the choice and you have the power to live. And if you want to live in misery, fine. You're going to pass over to misery. It's not like, oh, I'm going to put my faith in God and I'm going to confess it with my lips, but my heart's so far from him and I'm going to keep whipping myself because I need the 50 lashes. And, you know, it is what it is. And I got to live in my sufferings. You have a choice. And when we make these choices in our heart and we cry out in our heart, God actually answers prayer. And he'll touch you in a special way. We need to just cry to him. And I want to tell you a simple way of crying to God. Because I cry to him a lot. I'm like a big baby. And he understands that I'm a big baby. And I'll put it into a simple way of crying to the Lord. I look at truth. And I begin to bring my request to him. I'm not happy because this. Because of that. And he makes a way where there is no way. I'm not happy because I want someone in my life to love. And guess what? He'll bring someone in your life to love. I'm not happy because I don't have a job. And what did he do? He not only brought you a job, but now he made you more money than what you were making before. God knows our needs. He knows our desires and he knows our wants. The problem is we're not bringing our requests to him in this form of love. We have the ability of changing our lives. It's a choice. How do you want to live? My epiphany was, I'm over here declaring the love of God, and I gave my life to him about a year and a half ago, full time. And I said, I want to work out everything inside of me, and I want to get to the deep roots of what is stealing my joy and peace, because I know that there's a place, and that place is not of this world, because it's having righteousness, where it's, I didn't do anything wrong, and it's having peace, where everything's okay, and it's content, and having a joy, where I have a smile on my face, and you can't wipe it off no matter what you say, and no matter what you do. This is my life. And I want you to begin to look at your life. Today is probably a great day to start and have epiphany. Am I happy or not? So when I began to start saying, you know what, there's a little miss inside of me. I'm missing a little bit of joy. I'm missing a little bit of peace. What is robbing my joy and my peace? What is taking me from this place of love? And I started really getting down to the roots of it. And it might have been just certain people that I was associating with was bringing misery in my life. So I had to make a choice. Am I going to continue to be this way? Or am I going to walk away? I made choices of filtering my life and finding and pursuing peace, finding and pursuing joy. You know, did I have to maybe look at myself in the mirror and say, what is it that I don't like? What is it that I'm not happy with? And then I had to begin to start either accepting it, because there is a powerful word that I gave a long time ago. Surrender, accept, and receive. And sometimes we have to come to a place in our own life that if we can't change it, we have to learn to just surrender it. And then come to a place of accepting it. And then when we accept it, that's when true power comes. And then we can receive a glory, I call it. But there's a lot of things in our life we can change. We can get a new hairstyle. So I got a hair bun now and I got a new hairstyle. But we can get a whole new hairstyle. We can get a nail job or whatever it might be. We can get a dress. We can do a lot of things. Go shopping, get some clothes or whatever, to make yourself feel better about yourself. Because then if you feel better about yourself, you'll put out a sound. You'll put out a vibe. God knows your heart. But are you putting out a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass sound? Are you putting out this nasty clink that God is just closing his ears? Or are you putting out a sound where he's like saying, this is beautiful music. I want to hear more of this sound. And it starts with the way you feel about yourself. We need to start feeling good about ourselves in order for us to really understand love. Love is a mystery. You have to love yourself first. You have to learn to love yourself first before you can really experience love. And when you find this place of loving yourself and feeling good about yourself, God will come into your life in a really special way. He will manifest himself and begin to start empowering you so that you will be able to bring that sound, that nice sound to his ear, and he'll answer your prayers. You know, I look at some people that I minister to and they say, how come it seems like I'm praying but I'm hitting a lead ceiling? And then I look at them and I say, well, are you happy? No, I'm not happy. I said, why aren't you happy? Well, you don't understand. I got all this. I said, well, who are you praying to then? Because obviously you're carrying all this burden, all this weight, everything on you. And where's God at? Where's he at? You got this sound of clanging cymbals and sounding brass. It's just ting, 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 ting. Are you really touching heaven? Are you really sending out a beautiful sound to heaven, to where he's listening? Let's take it down a little bit more naturally. If somebody comes to you and asks for something, but asks it like this, I want that, and I want it now. How fast are you going to give it to them? You're probably going to hold up and say, what are you talking about? You're going to ask me like that? Or if you're going to say, can I please have this here? And, you know, don't you think that would be more acceptable to say, yes, oh, sure, let me give it to you, sure. This is what happens in the heavenlies. When we're not happy, when we don't have love, when we're not happy with ourselves, we tend off to ask God our request in this grouchy, miserable way. You know, he honors a broken, contrite heart. What is a broken, contrite heart? You know, you need to ask yourself, what is a broken, contrite heart? And if God loves a broken, contrite heart, what is it? Someone that comes to him meek and, you know, kind. Let me share something here. Because of time, I have to hurry up. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I thought I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and thought I would give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers and is kind and does not envy. Love does not parade itself, and it's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely and does not speak on its own, and is not provoked or thinks no evil. Just want to back up a little bit where it says, here it says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, there's a part in Scripture that scared me. And it said, Lord, Lord, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. You know, a person like that, you would think has a relationship, for one. And then you would think that person was a service to the Lord. But then there was a response. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And that kind of startled me. I'm like, oh my goodness, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And I truly believe that that's connected with love. I truly believe. We can service and we can do a lot of things. We can confess God with our mouths. We can confess love to one another. We can put on the fake smiles and we can serve one another and then grumble later. But is our heart really conditioned in that place of love? I want us to ponder a little bit about love. You know, one of the things that is really sad to me is when I see people struggle and they fight and they really, deep down inside, they mean well, but they don't understand. They don't understand the mysteries. They don't understand the simplicity of truth. And they're fighting. And there's no need to fight. How many of us here feel like we're fighting all the time? Nothing's easy. We're constantly battling and battling and battling. Well, I know where I come from, the battle belongs to my God. And there's no reason for me to fight or argue or feel any way of, that I need to deal, so to say. The only thing that I really need to concentrate on is love. And love covers a multitude of sin. Love is like a powerful weapon to destroy your difficulties. If you're lacking in something, I'm going to tell you the root that will give you your blessing is love. Not an outward love. Anyone can do that. It's unselfish way of life. To be able to love unconditionally. To give your heart without, complaining. And be able to take control of your own life and begin to change. You know, there's a powerful word that says, repent, repent. And it makes you feel really guilty, doesn't it? Like you did something wrong. But I want to tell you this simple message that God wants. Change the way you're thinking. Don't stay in the situation that you're at. Here's a good day to be transformed. And take this transformation. You want power in your life? You want a life to change your circumstances? See, God knows your desire. He knows your wants. He knows what makes you who you are because His life is in you. But we're restricting Him from doing the things that He wants to do in your life because we put ourselves in prison. Because we think we can't change things. Has anyone ever felt in prison? We can't change these circumstances? You can change circumstances. You can sit down and let's say you have a disagreement with your spouse. Oh, I'll just deal with it. Well, why don't you sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk? Maybe you might be able to change the circumstances if they had an ear to hear your heart. And sit down and really, really have a chat. You can change. You can change your circumstances. God wants to change your circumstances. He wants you to manifest love. There's a sound that we're putting forth in heaven. And that sound should be a beautiful sound. But are we like banging drums and just like stringing nasty sounds of the guitar? And what kind of sound are we making? And more than likely that those sounds come from not being happy. We got to get to the root. Why are we not happy? We have this choice. Let's change the way we're thinking today. I know two people that had made a choice today. And I want to call Jim and Rachel up. And we're going to honor them redoing their vows today. Some know Jim and Rachel. Some may not know. They've committed themselves to serve in this ministry because they've seen the fruit of this ministry. And the ministry in itself has changed their life and has been given them a unity of love. Not a form of religion of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs, but an intimate relationship with God and our Creator. And my prayer is that you would not look for religion because I mentioned that couple that said, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That to me looks like they served. And they served in religion. And they felt as though that they were really committed to the will of God and trying to find a relationship with God. I don't want you to look at the service, you know, of the do's and the don'ts and the rights and the wrongs. I want you to find a relationship. When God changed my life and I was brought back to this world, I told everybody, put down their Bibles, put down this, and just worship and thank God. Just begin to praise Him and thank Him in all things. Just begin to be thankful. Just begin to thank Him and be grateful and just praise Him. You know, and I could imagine a lot of people were thinking I was nuts. But, you know, I came to a reality that that's the core. That's the core of knowing who God is. Just coming to that place of oneness with Him. He'll move on your heart to do the good works. If He moves on my heart to go feed the poor, I'll go feed the poor. If He moves on my heart to sit home and watch the TV, I'll sit home and watch the TV. This is where He dwells. Right here. And I hope you find Him. If you're not happy, there's a reason why. You got to clean out the unhappiness. You got to take out the unhappiness. You know, there was a part of me that was dealing with some unhappiness. And I had to come to a place and take a real strong risk. But who am I going to believe in? Am I going to believe in my imaginary God and live in fear still? Or am I going to believe in the true living God who destroyed fear for me? Who will supply all my needs and take care of all those needs? So I wanted to really know Him more than I knew Him. So I took the risk. Are you going to take the risk today of finding that peace and that happiness? Are you willing to take the risk to sit down with that individual and who's sharing your life and work out your indifferences? Because I met a lot of married couples, and most of their unhappiness is because there's a little division amongst them, and they learn to just deal with it, and then they end up just not being happy. We need to work out our things. Today, I want to honor Jim and Rachel, and as soon as they get their things together and come down, I want to be able to honor the renewal of their vows. And I hope and pray through this message that they're listening, that they can take that opportunity to say, look, we're renewing our vows today. Maybe we can pursue peace and happiness too on top of it. Maybe we can start over afresh. You know, it's not too long, it's not too late. Happiness is a today thing. I don't care if you're like on your last leg out or you just came in. Happiness is today. And if I can live the last 5 years of my happiness, I want to live it. If I can live the last 10 years of my life happy and full of joy, I want to live it. I guess when you're young, you don't really think this way. But when you get older, you start to realize that life is more important than things and money and all this other stuff. You begin to start pursuing something that's very interesting to me, and it's peace and joy and righteousness. That's the kingdom of God, and I find that you begin to start pursuing this place called the kingdom of God. I have committed and devoted the rest of my life to find peace and joy and righteousness. I don't care about anything else. And I hope I tease you. I hope I tease you a little bit. Because there's no need for you to be miserable. There's no need for you to be unhappy. You have control of your life. And when we have a relationship, like Jim and Rachel, they're ready to redo their vows. They have a choice. Whether or not they want to share the rest of their life in peace and happiness, which I hope that's the case. And what's the purpose of redoing your vows if you're not pursuing peace? And let's redo our vows so that we can come together and make more money and still be miserable. I hope that their purpose today in redoing their vows is to be able to pursue peace and joy. Amen? Amen. So if I can ask Jim and Rachel to come on up. Keep this here. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for these two. Amen. Let me give you a hug first. Yeah, lay them up here. Here, Jim requested a couple of traditional ceremonies, and there are two of them here that we're going to demonstrate, and we have one afterwards, so I hope you all hang out and be able to experience this other one. It's a gift that I have for those. But we're going to share the one tradition, which is called the Bell of Truth, and Tim is going to share. I have a speech impairment.
Hey, hello everybody. This is called the Truce Bell, and to give you a little bit of background about it, it was believed that it derived from West Ireland back in the day when St. Patrick was around. And basically, St. Patrick used a lot of bells back then to symbolize miracles. And I believe we can all associate love as being a miracle. When two people come together as one, there's a miracle that happens within the hearts, which is love. And I believe that's truly a miracle. With that being said, the bell here is symbolic to when two people come together and when they're going to ring it, enables them to have intentions and loving thoughts about one about each other. So that's why we actually ring the bell. So I'm going to have both of them ring the bell shortly. But the other thing too is when they take it home as their wedding gift and they have it at home, if there's a particular conflict or an argument or disagreement in their household, they can take the bell. One of them can take the bell and ring the bell, and that conflict will cease. And it's to bring them back into agreement in the matrimony and love that they're actually going through today. Amen? So both of you, I'd like you to both ring this bell in symbolism of your marriage and love and the future of love that you're going to have. Amen.
At this time, I'm going to ask the two families, Jim's son, which is little Jim, and Rachel's son, who is Cody, and they're going to come and light unity candles. And this is going to symbolize not only the unity of the two families, but it's also going to symbolize their marriage also coming into one. And I'm going to ask Kurt if he would come up and just give us an input on the unity candles.
You know, if you look at the candles, I just picture in the spirit is two spirits that are naked, okay, standing before God, surrendering all for God. You have two individual candles that have to perform an action of surrendering themselves to one another. It's not my will, Father, but your will be done. And when they light them together, to me, they're unity with God in their marriage. In a priesthood, it starts within you. And then when you're married, it starts with your family. And then you can go out and teach and show the love of God. Amen? So at this time, I'd like Rachel and Jim to grab a candle and light in unity.
And this is one of the greatest mysteries, where two become one. And I get a little overwhelmed at this point because, you know, yes, I have a relationship with my wife and we became one. But I've done something even greater, even though we're honoring their marriage. You know, there's a greater sound in heaven where the bridegroom calls the bride and we become one with God. I hope and pray that that's where our heart truly leads ourselves.